I appreciate the Lord and all that He means to me. This is kind of an unusual message, but I trust that you understand what I'm trying to portray here. So, we talked not too long ago about a fisherman, so we're going to talk about a hunter tonight. It's a little more of a casual message. And with just a few of us here, I think that this is just right. So be just fine. I'm going to give some examples. Years ago, when I turned 16, I was in a class of about 100 students. My class, graduating class, was about 100 students. So as we were all turning 16, we were able to drive, getting driver's license and how important that was. And I remember a young man, Jeff was his name, pulling into the parking lot after he had turned 16 with a brand new 1982 Rosewood Cutlass Supreme two-door. It was beautiful. Some of you wouldn't think it was beautiful at all because it was so long ago. But that time, that was quite the car. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, how lucky Jeff is to have that new car. The rosewood color was a bit of a taupe color, and that was a new color for a car at that time. And it was beautiful. And I'm thinking, how lucky is that? At that time, we were pulling up with a standard 1974, different colors of faded colors of red Volkswagen Bug. So there was a vast difference. But it was a car that Gerald and I shared, and that was our car. And I remember thinking, what would that be like to have someone just hand you a set of keys and said, you have a brand new car? And I was just enthralled with that. And you know, it didn't take 6 months for Jeff to wreck that car. I don't think it cost anybody's life that time, but there was another wreck that did. And I remember thinking, he wasn't real invested in that car. Thus, the loss wasn't so great to him. But when you have earned an object and you're more invested in it, the care is a little different. And it wasn't long till I was able to purchase and pay on a car. And it was, in my mind, a beautiful car. It was a Dodge Aries. And I love that car. You don't even see them now. But I love that car, but I paid for that car. And I love that car. And I washed that car, and we lived on a dirt road, which is a very trying thing. And I drove slow on those dirt roads. My brothers did too, so they understood. But the beauty of it was, the love that I had for that car was a little different than the love that Jeff had for his, even though his was nicer. And I think it's because when you have to dig for something, you're going to appreciate it. So that's why I have written on the board the thrill of the hunt. Imagine, and I think it's so much fun to hide Easter eggs with the grandchildren. I'm doing it even for our children. They enjoy finding those eggs. If I had just handed them the eggs in the basket and said, here, you don't have to go hunt for them. You can just have the whole basket. You don't have to go hunt for them. They would not have been interested at all. So there's something about hunting and investing in yourself. And, you know, just even a physical hunt. If somebody had just laid a dead deer at your door, would you be as delighted with that as if you have to go out and hunt for it? You have to buy the equipment. You have to study their habits. You have to climb a tree in darkness and cold and train your scope on that and then you get that deer. There's something invested in it, and that makes it a thrill. Another example is years ago for a Christmas present, I was looking at a certain doll tea set, American Girl tea set for my daughters. And I had found one at a Hallmark store in Birmingham. And when I returned, it was gone. And at that time, we didn't really have access to the internet because that was kind of a new thing. It's the turn of the 20th, 21st century. And it was still there, but it was dial up. It was slow. It was very clunky. It was very cumbersome. So finding it was something you had to physically go do. Birmingham is a big town. So I looked up all the Hallmark stores nearby in all the suburbs, and I started looking for that tea set. And they would tell me, I can't order it for you because it is discontinued. Once it runs out of stock, it is no longer available for purchase. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll continue looking. And in Center Point, Alabama, that's a suburb of it, I went to a Hallmark store, and there were two tea sets. And I bought them, and my daughters still have them. And the thrill that was over me, because there was a hunt in there. It wasn't just something that I found accidentally or showed up on my doorstep. There was an investment in my time and in the money to buy it. If somebody had given it, I don't think it would have been nearly as important as me finding it for my girls. So there is a thrill of the hunt. And I want us just to catch a hold of, do you know, we live a beautiful Christian life. And this is a wonderful thing. But there is something about the complacency that can happen that if you are not invested for yourself, you're going to take some things for granted, and they're not going to be as important to you. It's a beautiful thing to be brought up in a Christian home. It's a beautiful thing to have family worship. It's a beautiful thing to have all of that support. But you still need to know it for yourself. The excuse of my mom and dad did, this is how my mom and dad taught, this is how I was raised, this is how the congregation I was in did it, is good, but you need to get it for yourself. It doesn't need to be so-and-so's decision for you. It needs to be your own decision, your own conviction. When you fall on your face before the Lord and ask Him to give you personally, He'll do it. But many times we're just too reliant on, and I'm not against devotionals. I'm not against listening to churchofgodpreaching.com. I think that's all a beautiful thing. We have resources at our fingertips. But when our spiritual life becomes all of those things, do you realize that you're being spoon-fed just a little bit? That you're no longer having to look for anything because you're riding on the inspiration that the Lord gave someone else. So that's what I'm saying. I'm warning against that, but I also know that when you invest in this for yourself, it's sweet. It becomes sweet and it becomes real to you. So I'd like to back that up with scripture, Proverbs 13 and 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. When you dig in the word of God, it's going to be precious to you. When you're digging for that nugget, when you're wanting to find that truth, when you're looking for that thing, it becomes precious because now you're invested in it. Now it's your experience. Not just my grandma or my mom, or my dad, it's now my experience. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew 13 and 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field. Okay, just stop right there. The Lord understood that we needed a treasure hunt a long time ago, didn't he? Because he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field. that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. That field wasn't given to him. He made the choice that I will go buy it. I will sell all that I have to purchase this because it is now mine. Nobody can live your experience for you, nor can you live someone else's experience. But find that experience in the Lord for yourself. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So I recommend to you, find that pearl of great price. Then go and sell all that you have and buy it. This life for the Lord, this life for the Lord is worth putting everything you have into it. But that's the necessary part. You need to put everything you have into it. Do you know, when I was a teenager, I had a lot of questions. And there were some that could be answered and some that couldn't be answered. And I remember falling on my face before the Lord. Lord, I would like some answers on this. I would really like to know why this happens and how this works. And how I can gain experience and strength. And what is your answer for me on this thing? And you know the Lord did. And that has become precious to me. Because now, it is now my experience. So Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse. It says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I want you to know, when you dig, you're going to find a treasure, but it doesn't stop there. You can continue finding those treasures from now till the day you depart this life. And those treasures are rich and they're worth digging for. And some of them might be a little closer to the surface, but there's some you may have to dig deep for. But it's worth the investment of taking your time to study the scriptures for yourself. Know the Lord for yourself. Know how you fit in his kingdom. Know how he can bless you abundantly. Allow the Holy Ghost to guide you, to teach you in the ways of godliness. Jeremiah 31 and 34. I've thought about, this is written in the Old Testament. You think about what was life like for them? What was worship like for them? They had opportunity for the prophets to be visited by the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't really available to everyone else much. There was a little inkling every once in a while. What they were given was what was verbally spoken. We have a resource here called the Bible. They didn't have that in their hands. They had scrolls that they were able to refer back to, but not everybody could read. So it was very limited. So they had to take it by word of mouth from one person to another. And they had to listen to the stories. And they had to memorize what was given to them. And the way I understand it, little children were given long passages to memorize, but that was by word of mouth. And this is what it's saying. There's going to come a time when it's going to be more than that. When it's more than just the verbatim from one person to the other. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. And this is how you can know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. For they shall all know me. They're all going to know me personally. Not just because grandma and grandpa taught it. Not because it was just passed down from Moses to me. Not because all those things, and those were beautiful things, but they were limiting if you think about it. The experience that each person could have was very limited. And now we have opportunity for all of it. So it goes up in there, the 33rd verse. And this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Each one of us. The Lord wants to be your God. He wants you to be his people. Not just collectively, but individually as well. I want you to know me. I want you to understand that you can find me. I want you to know that you can dig for me and find some treasures there that that is individual to you. Find some places there that it's very important. An Ebenezer stone too. And it can be a building pattern for you. So that whenever people come, people go, things do not stay the same. You can stay the same with the Lord. You know, I have been blessed in my life with so many beautiful people. But you know, some of them had different decisions that they made. Some of them died. Some of them left. It just seemed like, Lord, they were my prop. And the Lord told me, I don't want you to have props. I want you to lean on me. And when we can know him, we can lean on him. So there is a thrill in the hunt. And I want you to find that thrill. I don't want it just to be, as Sister LaDonna said, I want you to dig in the word. To find such treasure that is beyond understanding in his word, just individually, just for you. He wants to do that. He wants to be your God. Desire you pray for me.